guys. So you're back here with Mel, and it's nice to be back with you. I've recently touched on emotional abuse, and I'm going to be right back with you, continuing from the emotional abuse series. So I'm Mel, and Mel came from people going, Mel, I'll speak about different things, and that would be the response that first came out of people's mouth, and oh, Mel, I can't believe you've been through that. Oh, Mel, how did you survive? Oh, Mel. Oh, poor you. Oh, Mel. And I have to say, I cancel that in Jesus' name. Rich you. Oh, Mel. But yeah, you're here with Mel, and I'm back to talk to you about emotional abuse. I gave you a little taster on the last episode, episode 11, just about the different types of emotional abuse and some of the things I've been through, the root of where it could have come from, looking at down a generational lineage. However, it does not deny the fact that we go through emotional abuse, we put through people through emotional abuse, and emotional abuse starts from childhood. It started for me from childhood. I was criticized quite a lot. I was told I wasn't good enough. I was told I was meagre and skinny, too thin. I was ugly. I was good for nothing. I was constantly criticized. The majority of the words that came out my mother's mouth to me wasn't good, and I longed, oh how I longed, to hear I love you and I care for you. And actually, not maybe I love you and I care for you, but anything other than what I was hearing. I don't know what were the words I longed for, because I never heard it. However, I had a longing for something. I was longing to hear something other than I'm a whore, I'm a prostitute, I'm a C-U-N-T, I'm good for nothing, I'm a mother C-U-N-T. Oh, the things that were said to me as a child growing up was insane. You just would not say it to your child if you love them and if you care for them and if you want to help them grow and to be healthy and to be nurtured. I wasn't nurtured. No, I wasn't. And that's facts. And in sharing some of this with you, it might hit some chords with people. It might be like a wake-up call, because some people might be acting towards their children or towards their family members how I was treated, and you may not even realize it until you listen to this, or you may be able to relate. I touched on making a child subject to jokes before, and using sarcasm to hurt a child, blaming and scapegoating, so constantly getting the blame. I was brought up in a house with three sisters, one older than me, two younger than me. And the one that was older than me was 1 year older than me. And the two younger ones is about 5 year gap. So I was like their older sister, more like a mum to them, because I had to look after them. However, things would be going wrong in the house, or something would get broken, or would get shouted at for making noise, just playing, giggling, just being children, really. And I would always get the blame. Always get the blame. Did I want to take the blame? No. And my nickname was 4-4. So they're like, 4-4 did it. It was 4-4's fault. 4-4 this. 4-4 that. No, ask 4-4. I was like, because I walked with fear and anxiety and constant, I use the word constant quite a lot when it comes to my childhood, but when I say constant, if it was the majority of the day, a fear and anxiety of just doing things wrong, being wrong, in the wrong, even though I wasn't in the wrong, I always got blamed. I got blamed, and with that blame became a beating, and came a beating attached to that blame. With that blame came being scorned, being scowled, being isolated, being told to sit outside and do time out in cold, freezing weather in the UK, being beaten till my bones and my limbs felt like they were broken. With that blame came so much, and it wasn't even my fault. Oh my gosh, I was such a good child. I wish I had a child as good as me. I have to say that, because I really, really wasn't. I really, really loved my parents, my mom and my stepdad. Really loved my siblings. And it just never got nurtured. However, the emotional abuse got nurtured, and the emotional abuse grew. And that's what got nurtured inside of me. Willingly and unwillingly, my family and my parents did this to me. I was made to make, to perform at degrading acts. Yep. Emotional abuse. Can you believe that making someone do a degrading act can be classed as emotional abuse? So I'll give you an example. I wouldn't eat my food The English food I really struggle with, the mashed potato, the Sunday dinner, the gravy going hard and the lard or the fat forming over the gravy because it's been sat on my plate for so long because I just didn't want to eat. And I didn't want to eat for a variety of reasons. I was malnourished, which you would probably class as anorexic in this day and age. I was being seen by a nutritionist and I was severely underweight, probably about 3 stones underweight. However, I didn't want to eat because I was being abused, because I wasn't happy, didn't want to exist, didn't feel like I belong, was missing my country, my island, Trinidad, missing the food, missing the people, missing just a variety of things going on, really. So I didn't eat unless I was fed. Psychologically, there's something behind that. And I just remember often sitting on that dinner table for hours on my own, being told I have to eat this food and just looking at it and just crying and not touching it. And then the threat would go maybe after an hour and a half that if I didn't eat my food, I'd have to go and sit outside in the front garden of the terrace in Newark. And the front garden where other neighbours can see, I'd have to sit there with that plate of food in the garden and all I'd be wearing was my panties and a vest. And I'd be put on a little stool. And I'd be told I can't come in until I've eaten. And that was embarrassing. That was degrading. That was putting me on a show, like on a stool and making me a spectacle. Like people walk past and just look at me, sat there, and I'll just look up and look at them. I'm now thinking as an adult, what was wrong with my neighbours? Why didn't they report it? That was child abuse. Hello. Everyone on that place was a nightmare. Why did no one realise that this was abnormal? The neighbours would walk past and smile, give a little wave and think it was normal, and the sadness in my eyes, the tears coming down the side of my face. I can see myself now. It wasn't pleasant. However, it was a degrading act because I was humiliated and put outside as a show because I wouldn't eat food. I know it sounds a bit extreme, but that's what I went through. And I remember this happening on many occasions, and England is a cold place. And back in the 80s and the 90s, the winter was even colder than it is now. I'm telling you. We've got global warming now and everything's changing. Back then, when it snowed, we had proper snow. Snow that would go up to your knee, up to your thighs. We had snow. So imagine being put out there to eat your food or put in your little child, your little grandchild, your little niece or your nephew, whatever little child you've got around you that's age 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Imagine doing that to them. Could you? Or imagine seeing a child out there. What would you do if you spotted that now? This is just some food for thought, people, because these are some of my memories. People might sit down and have wonderful memories about their childhood. This is one of the memories that often go through my mind. And yes, I've had PTSD, I've had therapy, I've had counselling, and I forgive. However, you can't forget some of these things when it just plays or replays in your mind. Yeah, it's happened to me often. And I'm going to touch on what my neighbour made me do. This is a degrading act. And I'm like, hello. How many children are actually getting abused? Because there was like 14 terrace houses and we were number 12, Victoria Terrace in Newark. And the young girl, Sam, down the road, down the terrace, would often ask me to go and play with her. She was about my sister's age. And on many occasions, I am going to tell you what this girl made me do. On many occasions, which should make me go to the field and play with her, would play chase normally when my sister was around. But when it was just me and her, she'd make me squat down and she'll say, can you take a poo? Yes, people. This little girl next door who was older than me was asking me to squat down in public in the park outside or the field outside and take a poo. And she'd be watching. And because of what was going on in my house and because what was being done to me, I didn't see it abnormal, or I knew that it was wrong. It made me feel uncomfortable. It made me feel embarrassed. However, because I was told to comply to such degradable acts and sexual abuse and different things in the house, I was complying to this so-called friend, neighbor, child. And believe me, she must have been getting abused as well, because why are you asking someone to do this in public? Why are you asking someone to do this at all? And she'd make me squat down and say poo, and then she'd want to watch. Then she'll get a stick and want to try and poke the poo. Or poke at it. Hello, while I was pooing. This is what she wanted to see. And then she'll say, why don't you take a wee and let me watch you? Ha! This is like from a 9-10 year old telling me to do this. What on earth was going on in her house? It might have been a spirit of sexual abuse and abuse spreading down that terrace. The terrace on Elm Street. But however, nothing was normal. I look back at my childhood in England and I'm like, what the heck happened? What on earth was going on with all my neighbours and in their houses and home? Is this like this everywhere across the UK? Is it just full of perversion and corruption and lawlessness? But yeah, people, listeners, please don't feel sorry for me. I've made it. I don't do that to myself and I don't do it to others now. Praise God. However, it was done to me. And this caused emotional abuse. I was being told to perform degrading acts. It was a degrading act to bend down, squat down and be told to do this. And I think she threatened me. Yeah. Anyway, so those were some of the things. So not only being exposed to degrading acts within my house, but by the neighbour or the neighbour's child as well. And believe me, this neighbour and my sister would often play together. And then one day my sister, we were playing hide and seek and the neighbour locked me in a wheelie bin, told me to get in there and hide. And then she went in her house and I was stuck in that wheelie bin for ages. When my big sister came out and found out, she was like, enough. And then I told her what was going on. I just said, enough is enough. She's making me do this. She's making me poo. She didn't even try to get the cat involved to come and watch. Yeah, we had cats. And my sister, she was bigger than me and she was stronger. She's like, right, we're going to do this now. We're going to have this. We're going to deal with this. I felt defended, I did, even though it was only like 8 or 9 or 9 or 10. I felt defended. My sister's like, get out, let's go and knock on the door and call for her and we're going to play. And then bring her to the garage round the corner by the car park where no one can see. And it doesn't matter whether someone can see or not because people ignored anything that was wrong. Anyway, we had this bright idea to do this. So I knocked on the door, called for Sam, let's go and play. Took her to the garage area, the car park, and my sister held her up against that garage and said, what have you been making my sister do? And she punched her. And I was like, yeah, stick up for me. Someone is finally sticking up for me. And it felt good. I never knew what that felt like. I was like, wow. Obviously, it's called justice and getting your own back. Vengeance. Thank God I operate in God's vengeance now. It says vengeance is his. We've got to pray about things, leave it in his hands and let him deal with people. Don't take matters into our own hands. However, back then, I was happy. Yes, people. Yes, listeners. That my big sister listened to me and she went and she dealt with this. She showed me how it felt like to be defended. And I'd never had that before. And I have to admit, because I've never had it before, I've been trodden all over, walked all over in relationships, in friendships, because I've been so mistreated and emotionally abused as an upbringing and from my childhood that it's formulated a lot of the treatment that I let people treat me now. Even now I've had to say to myself, no, this is not allowed. And I can identify because of a child and because of so many years of being exposed to emotional abuse and not being defended, not knowing how to defend myself, I've fallen into traps and fallen into some tricky situations, horrible situations where I'm mistreated and I put up with it. But on this day, my sister was like, right, we're going to deal with this. And I have to say, round of applause, big sis. Thank you for sticking up for me. And I remember that. It's one of my happy childhood moments, believe it or not, that I was defended and that my sister defended me. Anyway, moving on from degrading acts, that's just one of the things that I wanted to share with you. Well, two, the garden one and also making me poo outside act. That's very degrading. Moving on, pushing a child too hard or not recognising their limitations. We as parents, if you're a parent and you're listening, we fall within this. We do this, not knowing the emotional stress we're causing on our child. I was dyslexic and I didn't find out that I was dyslexic until I was 28 years of age. I went to university to become a nurse and whilst I was at university, I could not write notes in the lecture rooms. I was looking around that room and I was like, why is people writing notes when the person's talking? I can't do this. I can either listen or read and write notes afterwards, but I couldn't do both. And I was like, you know what? It's been a few weeks. I'm not getting anywhere. Actually, it was about 8 weeks, managed to even submit an assignment. And I just thought, I can't cope with this. I'm going to quit the course. I'm not meant to be doing it. Went to student services at Birmingham City University. And they said, before you quit, if you are struggling, we could do a dyslexic assessment on the computer quickly. If you answer 100 questions, see how you get on. I was like, what's that? I'm not dyslexic. Jeez, we picked on people who had disabilities at school when I was cool. I ain't going to claim that. No way. Anyway, that's another story about being a bully. And I gave in. I did the questionnaire, the quiz on the computer, and it came up like 98 out of 100%, or 98 questions that I got saying that I could possibly definitely be dyslexic. And I was like, huh? And they said, because of such a high mark, we're going to put in the paperwork and get the funding and pay for a psychologist to do a dyslexic assessment on you. It can take 3.5 hours, half a day. Are you willing to do it? And I was like, oh, okay, go on then, if you say so. Listen, I went in, had that assessment done with a psychologist, and found out at the end of it that I was severely dyslexic. I had a meltdown. I had a breakdown. I was like, huh? I'm not dyslexic. No, I'm not. She said, you are. Some of your percentiles, like a 9-year-old, some of your reading styles, your understanding. I was shocked. I was like, this can't be happening to me. And then this sadness came on me, like, oh, that's why I struggle as a child. That's why I struggle to read. That's why I struggle to write. That's why I struggle in front of class. This is why I struggle at home. And my mum was, and my stepdad was making me do the times table, and I couldn't remember, and I'd get beaten in the back of my hands, front of my hands. Oh my God, the trauma, the emotions, the mixed emotions that what if, what if, what if, what could have been. I was so devastated that I was pushed too hard and no one recognized my limitations or identified that I may have had a learning disability or learning difficulty. And I did. Oh my gosh, I really did. And I had it in paper, and I've still got it in paper now, and it's really helped me to understand myself, my learning needs, my understanding of other people. And I remember the psychologist saying, do you get in a lot of arguments because of what people say? And I was like, yeah, all the time. And she said, yeah, because your understanding of what people are saying is different to what they're saying. And I was like, huh? And then she said throughout the course of the assessment, she was asking me things and what I was answering wasn't correct until she explained it a different way. And then she said to me, when someone's speaking, I might get defensive. I might react defensive straight away because of what I'm interpreting them saying. Hence why I now say to people, can you say that again in baby terms? Can you just break that down for me? Because that was an issue. And it was linked to dyslexia. Oh my God, so many arguments. I've had so many fights, physical fights. Whew, 28 years of not understanding myself. That's a long time. However, this day and being at university made me realise as a child, I was pushed too hard and my limitations wasn't recognised. And as parents and as caregivers, see if you're pushing your child to do something that they can't. I remember saying to one of my goddies, yeah, read this, do this, and they couldn't see properly. So it was almost like they were taking a mick or not taking it seriously when really they had a problem with their eyesight. How many times do we say to a child, do this, do that, and they can't do it? Because it's beyond their limitations and we think they're being lazy, you're not concentrating, you want to go and play outside, you're distracted. No. They might have a limitation and you may be caught in emotional abuse without even trying. So, guys, I'm sharing this. These are some little insights of my life, personal things, shocking things, embarrassing moments that I've had to share because I want to share and I want to be transparent and I want people to know what's going on. And next time you let your child play with the neighbour down the road, please find out if that child's safe for your child to play with because you just don't know what your children are being exposed to. And yeah, I'm saying that from experience. And because of that experience, I'm going to leave you with this. I got to know all of my children's friends from nursery. Well, actually from reception. Nursery, reception. All of primary school, all of secondary school. And now my daughter's left secondary school and my son's left and gone on to university. I was the parent that wanted those children, their friends at the house. I wanted to know who they were. I wanted to observe them. I wanted to hear their conversation. I wanted to see their character because I wanted to know if they were safe enough to be around my children because of what I had been exposed to with the girl down the terrace. And being a parent means sometimes, well, you guys don't have to go through what I went through. However, be that parent that is interested in your children's friends. And even now, my son's friends, they come to the house, they're in their 20s, they check on me, they call me, they text me because I developed a relationship and a friendship with them. Over the years, I've become their auntie. I'm not just Wesley's mom, I'm there for them as well, but that's developed by me inviting them into my house, into my space, seeing how they treated my son or my daughter and realizing whether they were safe or not. I've only had one person that wasn't safe, and that's for another episode, another time. However, that crossed the boundaries, and that's why it's important to get to know your children's friends, yeah? Because no one got to know my friends and the people that was playing with me, and look what they were doing. They were abusing me as well as my family abusing me. Oh, dear me. Anyway, guys, it's been great talking and sharing, even though some of this stuff might be disturbing, unsettling, uncomfortable. Just remember, I'm Mel. I've made it as an adult. I've got faith. I've got happiness. I've got joy. Yes, I've got a traumatic past. However, I'm here to help. I'm here to help other people to understand what's going on in society, what some people may be exposed to, and also just to bring an awareness in case we are repeating some of these emotional abuse and patterns and cycles. If I can help you in any way, please take on board what I've said. Take from this podcast what you can, what's for you, and yeah, share if it's for someone else and you think someone might benefit from this. But most importantly, remain positive, yeah? That whatever you're going through, whatever someone else is going through, they can make it. And resilience is a skill to be able to bounce back from setbacks. It's a skill that we develop through opportunities of setback. One of my biggest skills that I've learned in life is resilience. And unfortunately, it came from long-standing emotional abuse and being able to keep on going, keep on continuing, and keep on checking in on my own mental health and emotions, and to be here right now to be able to help people. And I really want this podcast and platform to help people that I can't reach, and that might be in a different location, a different city. I'm praying that it goes worldwide to help people from a different culture, from across the waters, understand what can be taking place right here in the UK, in our homes, in our families. And I know a lot of you might relate, a lot of you might have hidden things that you've been through. If you do need to talk, reach out, speak to someone, even if it's me, or go and get help, and even get professional therapy if you need. I've had it. It's worth it. And if there's any triggers from anything I'm saying, please don't suffer on your own. Get help. Anything that I've shared, if it's bringing up any emotions or things or a reminder that something that you've been through, deal with it. Yeah, become free, become strong, become empty of that. Anyway, guys, thanks for staying with me. We're Omel, and I look forward to being with you again. God bless you, and take care.